the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you.
Your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world, and at life's end grant us your promised rest and the full joys of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Sing aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 7th chapter. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So, I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God,
begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is our text. Rest. Just that one word, rest. It's such a pleasant little word, isn't it? It even has a nice ring to it, I'd say, a soothing sound. There's something quiet, calm, and peaceful about it.
rest. It's like gentle waves lapping the beach, or like a light breeze through leaves or falling rain, like the monotonous hum of a fan at night. Rest. There's nothing I want more than rest, and there's nothing that's quite so hard to find. But even when I talk about wanting to rest or relax, I talk about it as if rest were another thing for me to do, as if it were another project to check off my list. It's been a bit of a standing joke for Kristen to hear me say I want to rest or relax, and my siblings and my mom too, as if it's work that we have to do. The harder you try to rest, the less of it you have. Because rest doesn't work like that. You can't accomplish it. The more you try to hold on to it, the quicker it just slips through your fingers. Because rest is a gift, not an achievement. And now the rest that I'm after isn't just rest from a busy household, which some of you may be thinking of. It's not just rest from the responsibilities of work. It's not just rest from the needs and expectations of other people. If that's all I wanted, then an early bedtime or a retreat or a vacation or even a long walk might be enough. That kind of rest is fine. It's good. But a trip to the ocean, as enjoyable as it can be, isn't enough. Not when there are little ones to watch. Not when there are coronavirus restrictions to observe. Not when there's the battle with traffic, there and back, and not when you've got the lingering sunburn after coming home from the ocean. As restful as it is, it can be even pretty stressful. No, what I'm looking for is something that's so much harder to find. It's rest from myself. I want a break from me. I want to get away from my worries and fears, from my temptations and distractions, from my sin, guilt, and shame. What I want is relief from the tension and stress of being coiled in on myself. What about you? That's what St. Paul wanted, too, because that's what he said about himself in Romans 7. He wrote this after he was baptized and became a Christian, not before. He says, "I don't understand my own actions, for I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Preach it, brother. That's my life too. Now, if I do what I don't want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." You can say that again. "For I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. And how can I get rid of that?" Where can I find that kind of rest? Rest not just for the body, but for the soul. Rest from the sin that dwells within me. Rest from the sin that's killing me and killing those I love. Oh, what a mess I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I'm sure you've heard the proverb that there's no rest for the weary. Have you ever felt that way? Do you feel that way now, maybe? Stretched to the limit with no relief, loaded with burdens that you can never put down, forced to continue no matter how tired or overworked you may feel, whether it's at home or at work or wherever. So you just keep going through the motions each day while discouragement and despair are pounding on the door. It's different than the kind of exhaustion that follows a hard day's work and a job well done. What I'm talking about is the exhaustion of work that's never done, of a life that's never perfect. To be honest, that sounds an awful lot like hell, doesn't it? A place without rest, no Sabbath. So different than the Garden of Eden where God put Adam and Eve. There in Eden was a place of perpetual rest. Sure, Adam and Eve had work to do. There were animals to name. There was a garden to tend. They were to exercise dominion and care over God's good creation, but even all of that was restful for them. Because everything that Adam and Eve first did in the Garden of Eden, when it was perfect, all of it was done in the rest of God's blessing on them and in the rest of God's gifts to them. But the fall into sin changed all of that, made the world that you and I know now. It brought curses, pain, sweat, struggle in work, people turned against one another, husbands against wives, and wives against husbands, and parents against children, and children against parents, and all of us against God. Perhaps that's why they say there's no rest for the wicked. In fact, that's actually biblical. The Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked. And the wicked are like the tossing and churning sea. It cannot keep quiet, and its waters toss up mud and dirt. That's how the devil likes it. He'll never allow his followers to rest from their evil works. And if he has his way, he'll never let us find rest from the sin that dwells within us or the death that follows us. He would keep our sin ever before us, like right here in front of us. Earlier I said that rest is a gift and not an achievement. But I'd like to say that's not entirely true. Rest for the soul is never our achievement. But there is someone who works to give you and me rest. Someone who comes righteous and having salvation for you. Someone who is meek and humble of heart. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Jesus came, and he shouldered the sin of the world. Jesus came, and he put on the body of death. If we're so weary by our sin and the burden of our sin, can you imagine what it was like for him to carry the sin of the world? Not just my sin, but mine and yours and everyone else's in the entire world, putting that sin on his back, lugging it around. And not only to carry that sin, but to bear the full weight, the wrath, the punishment, the hell. Just picture him loaded down with that cross as he goes on the way of sorrow. And what rest did our Lord have? In his ministry, he brought rest to the sick. He brought rest to the sorrowing and to the weary and to the burdened, but he himself had no rest. How many times do we hear about people pressing in against the doors of the house when the night is late and he's been working hard all day and there's another one still to heal? Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Or those times when the Gospels depict his enemies constantly coming at him with yet another test, another challenge. And then his arrest, and then his suffering, and then his crucifixion for my sins and yours. And then finally, for our Lord, came that sweet rest. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I rest. It is finished. I rest." And Joseph of Arimathea took the body of our Lord and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in a new tomb which he had cut in the rock. And our Lord rested from all the work that he had done in that tomb, from all his work of carrying your sins and mine, from all his work of bearing death in his body. Jesus labored and was heavy laden so that we would rest in him. So we come back to that little word, rest. What a pleasant little word it is. It's got a nice ring to it, a soothing sound, rest. Forget about the waves lapping the ocean. Forget about the hum of the fan at night. No, rest like Jesus in the tomb, his agony, cross, and passion over, his hard work of carrying my sin and dying my death all finished. Rest. Like the baptismal ocean that buried you and me with Jesus and now brings the newness of life each day. Rest. Like the wind of heaven, clean and clear, on whose breath my sins and yours are forgiven. Rest. Like the steady hum of Christ, who week after week keeps repeating, "Your sins are forgiven, given and shed for you, for your forgiveness." And notice here today, Jesus isn't asking you to do anything. He isn't asking you to accomplish anything. He isn't putting more demands or more burdens on you. He's simply inviting you to rest in him. And he's literally, you might say, dragging you with your sin-sick, dying body into his rest. He's pulling us with him as if he's a strong ox yoked to us who are dying ones. And he pulls us into life. Rest. I'm reminded of the last sermon preached by Martin Luther. It was actually on this text, Matthew 11, 25 to 30. He proclaimed these words of Jesus, and then Martin did as he was told. Being weary, he went to him who says, "Come to me." And he found the rest that he'd had in Christ during his life, but in its fullness and completeness when he went to be with his Lord. If you're like me, if you're like Martin, and I suspect you are, that's what you've been looking for too. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. There you have it, dear Christian. You can rest in Christ. You can rest in his word. You can rest in his promises and in his gifts today and tomorrow until he takes you home to that rest that is eternal. Find your rest in him. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. For our needs and all those for whom we pray. O God and King, as once your people received you in joy, open our hearts to rejoice in your coming, so that we may meet you in your word and sacrament for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Help us to bless and honor your name and to declare your salvation to the generations to come, proclaiming that you are merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God and Lord, you are good to all your creation. Continue to bless your church and to provide her with faithful pastors. Grant safe travel to Professor John Fless and to all who will be attending his theology class this week, and bless their time together. Lord, in your mercy. Creator and Lord, from you all things come, and to you are all things directed. Provide our nation with faithful leaders who will hear and honor you. Protect and defend the citizens. Preserve the precious gift of liberty, and inspire us to use our freedom honorably. Make us mindful of the heritage we have received, and guide us to be faithful in our use of all the resources you have provided. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of holy marriage and for joining Patrick and Laura together. As they celebrate 9 years of married life, we pray that you would continue to bless them and all husbands and wives
that they may be drawn closer to you and so closer to one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Wise and giving God, you are the God of truth, and in you is no falsehood or deception. Help us to delight in your law, to love what is good and true and right, and to seek after these things. Help us to wage war against the old Adam within us. Restore us when we stray from your word, and forgive us when we give in to the devil's temptations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, we do not suffer alone the pain and afflictions of this life, but we live them out within your grace and sustained by your mercy. Hear us on behalf of the sick, those who suffer, the grieving, those to whom death is near, and all who have asked for our prayers, especially Rich Crawford, Dana Blaze, Diane Albert, Henry Batten, Jared Blaze, Ginny Cutler, Karina Fowley, Rob Dogan, Phyllis Hoffman, Gary, George, Jesse, and Nancy Kingis, and Kertu Maki. According to your will, deliver them from their afflictions and give to all your strength, patience, and hope, that they may endure to eternal life. Show compassion and drive all pestilence from our land. Lord, in your mercy. Our gentle God and Lord, you have invited us to come to you with the heavy burdens of this life, that we may find rest and peace in your mercy. Grant relief to those who struggle, daily bread to those in need, hope to those who fear, and peace to those who are anxious, that we may be delivered from all adversity and brought to everlasting life, where we shall join the saints of old in your presence. Lord, in your mercy. Our heavenly Father and gracious God, as we come to the table your Son has set, grant to us faith and repentance, that we may receive with joy and thanksgiving his flesh in this bread and his blood in this cup. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that what we have received with our lips we may keep in holiness of life. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, blessed Lord, we pray you to grant us according to your merciful goodness and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.